So my story begins with Soul Train. So I don't know how many of you guys are fans of Soul Train. Good. Okay. My sister and I would watch Soul Train every Saturday morning, and we would actually come in. So this is a time when, you know, there were only three channels for any young people that may be here. And so we would literally come inside from being outside playing to watch Soul Train because it was a very big deal. So big of a deal that my sister would sometimes get dressed up and we would pretend that we were actually at a concert. So a few, maybe about 5-6 years ago, I wanted to find out where were some of our favorite dancers. So, you know, some of our favorite dancers included, there was an Asian woman with really long hair. And we didn't know her name. That was just how we referred to her. There was Demita Jo Freeman, who danced with James Brown and Joe Tex. There was Jeffrey Daniels and Jody Watley. And so all of these really famous people if you watch Soul Train. So I went to find out where they were, and I was just going to do kind of a blog, where are they now? And found out all of this really fascinating information. Like Cheryl Song was the woman, the Asian lady with the long hair. That was her name. She actually had a name. And she went on to dance with Michael Jackson. And, you know, they all had these really interesting careers. And so I started to think that maybe it was something bigger. You know, I talked to Toni Basil, who danced with the Lockers. You probably know her better for Hey Mickey. But she's a great dancer who danced on Soul Train. And so I talked to my agent about it and started to find out all this other really fascinating information about Soul Train, including that there was a Soul Train nightclub where Richard Pryor recorded his album, That N-Word Is Crazy. there was a Soul Train show, obviously. There was a Soul Train awards show. And, you know, Don Cornelius had owned the show, and so it was, and employed various people, including Mark Warren from Laugh-In, and, he was, a premier, just an amazing personality. Anybody who watched the show, his voice was, hypnotizing. He was this really super cool host that everybody wanted to get to know, and or, everybody, he was like a father figure to people. So, I really wanted to find out more, and the more I found out, the more interesting the story became. You know, I found out that Don was a reporter and had covered the civil rights movement, and, then there was the Afro Sheen commercials, and that was their primary advertiser. And so, I was really excited about the book. I had found all of my favorite dancers, had pancakes with Cheryl Song. And, we talked in depth about, the good, bad, and the ugly about Soul Train. And so I'm sitting in a dentist's office. And I had gone to Chicago. Because they were dedicating a sign to Don Cornelius, so a street sign to Don Cornelius. And so this was, my opportunity to meet Don Cornelius in person. I was really nervous, but he ended up actually being a super cool guy. He had on, a leather outfit and snakeskin shoes, everything you would imagine about, having watched the show, he was that. And so I had an appointment to talk with him and to start to begin interviews. And so maybe a week after that meeting, I was sitting in the dentist's office, and I got this flurry of text messages. And, I'm ignoring it. I'm like, okay, when I get out of the chair, I'll answer them. And then they just kept going on and on. And I said, okay, wait, something is up. And so I looked at them, and my best friend, she had texted me and said that Don Cornelius had committed suicide. So I was like, oh, my God. And then I looked at all of my journalist friends who had texted me, and they were like, your book is going to be a bestseller. And I was like, these are cynical journalists. And so I was like, oh my God, now, you know, what am I going to do? Because not only was he, you know, the main character of the book, but he also was this really private entrepreneur who had, you know, secrets about how he made the show work. You know, this is an unusual time period for this kind of a show. This was the longest running syndicated show in history, and he had really made a way out of no way. And so it was, you know, I had to really revise what I was going to do. And so I began by deciding to rent out my house, sublet it, and move to L.A. So I sounds crazy, but I subletted the house for a month, and decided that, because I had started to call people that were close to Don Cornelius, and they weren't willing to really talk because of not only the nature of, his death, that he committed suicide, but also that, you know, they were also as protective of his secrets as he was. And so a lot of them were like, well, I'm only going to talk to you if I meet you, and I have to, you know, really make sure that you are the person that I want to tell these things to. And so I came up with this idea, and then at the time, I had, my kids were maybe 5 and 7, and, you know, it was fortunately the summertime, and I just threw all caution to the wind and ended up in L.A. and ended up, you know, spending a lot of time with Jamita Jo Freeman at Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles. That was the only place that she would talk to me. And, you know, I met the detective that found Don Cornelius, who had also been the detective for Michael Jackson. And then just all of these stories just started coming out. So it was the right decision to move to L.A. And my journalist friends were correct in that it actually ended up being a more in-depth story about him and about the show. And I got to meet all my favorite dancers in person. And so that is my story. And thank you for being so patient.